session number 8281, route 3.
Mr. Wharton, reel 3. What was the role of the 5th KR in the Lake Rudolph area?
Well, I think the main object was to, when we left Jemma, we were finally evacuated from Abyssinia, was to return to Kenya. And this route, which, as I say, was not a regular route down to Kenya at all, certainly not for traffic, was chosen for us. So really our main object was to return to our Kenya base from where we would receive further orders, because by then Abyssinia had virtually fallen, and the Duke of Doster, who was, I think, the commanding general of the Italian forces, had finally surrendered. And on the way down, also as a matter of incident, a number of the, or few of the officers in the Kenya battalion were in peacetime Kenya farmers, Kenya settlers, had bought cars from the Italians, little Fiat open cars, which were extremely efficient, and they intended to drive these cars back with us on the road, back to their homes in Kenya. And most of them did in fact get through, which says a lot for the Fiat cars. But our role in Kenya, when we finally arrived there at Lake Rudolph, was, I suppose, to rest after a rather arduous 3 weeks or so during the route back to Kenya, which we did. We rested there for about a fortnight and then returned to, as far as I can remember, we returned to a camp in the Wakamba country at Machakos, I think it was. Somewhere near there, anyway, in Wakamba country, where, which is reasonably near to Nairobi, where we built a camp and stayed there till the next part of our active service.
What was that? Was that Madagascar?
Yes, from there we did eventually go to Madagascar. I can't remember exactly what the date or even year that was, but certainly we went to Madagascar after that.
Can you describe your experience of the Madagascar campaign?
I think so, as far as I can remember. We went by ship to Diego Suarez, and a British division, of which incidentally my old regiment, the 1st Battalion of the East Lancashires, where I met one or two officers who I'd met known before there, they attacked and took Diego Suarez, and having made the bridgehead, we landed and went from Diego down the rest of the island, mopping up various pockets of resistance. We had a commando with us, I remember, and the 22nd Brigade of the 11th East African Division, and some other troops, but I can't remember exactly who they were. And we, after the Madagascar had fallen, they weren't really all that enthusiastic about the war, I don't think. They were what were they called? Not the Free French. They were the
Vichy French.
Vichy French. And they weren't, I don't think, either very enthusiastic about the war. We had, I remember, one or two fairly fierce battles there. They had Gold Coast troops who were good fighters, West African troops, well, not the Gold Coast, but the French West African troops, which were
Senegalese,
that's right. And we had one or two battles there, but there again they were on the retreat all the time. And we landed up at a place called, I think it was Majunga, on the coast, where we garrisoned for about 2 months, and then returned to Kenya and got ready to go to Burma.
What did the attitude of the Vichy French towards the British seem to be? Were they friendly or unfriendly?
Oh, I would have thought immediately we got each position we got to, the chef de district or whoever the in charge was very friendly. Couldn't really be much else, could he?
And coming back to the East Africa campaign, did you ever run across Italian civilians in Abyssinia or Italian Somaliland?
Not in Italian Somaliland, but in Jimma, there was quite a largest population of Italians. And of course in the farms outside, before we got to Jimma, or before we got to Babissa for that matter, I remember seeing some horrific incidents. The Habash, the Abyssinian irregulars, who might have been in the area before us, had one particular instance. They'd murdered a whole village and left them lying stripped on the road, which greeted us when we rounded a corner in our transport. That we only saw once, but I've no doubt there were other incidents like this.
Was that men, women and children?
Yes. They'd obviously, in this particular instance by this farm, they'd loaded three or four lorries of their personal effects, I suppose, and because the lorries were still there on the road, one of them being gutted, I think, and all of the Italian people on the lorries had been taken off and killed and mutilated. Horrible sight.
How are
all
they
left lying on the road? Well, I can't describe it to you. It's horrible. Very, in a most barbaric manner that you would perhaps not expect from anybody else. Very savage people.
How many bodies were there?
I would think at least a dozen bodies. At least, probably more.
And where was this?
Well, it was on the road. The highlands of Abyssinia was absolutely beautiful country. I remember a Kenya settler saying to me that this country is better than the highlands of Kenya for farming. It's beautiful. And it certainly was. A wonderful rolling land and marvellous soil. So and the which was almost virgin land. It hadn't been farmed until the Italians came. But all their tractors, we'd also noticed, well, they all had machine guns mounted on them and all sorts of armaments. The Italians all carried guns and pistols, the ordinary farmers. So they were never accepted in Abyssinia. But therefore, since that was the case, and the Italians had to arm themselves, obviously the natives were hostile to them all the time. So I suppose in that context you might have expected that this would happen, that the Abyssinian Habash, the people there, the natives, knew that the Italians were being pushed back, and so I suppose atrocities could happen. This is obviously was a possibility, and it did happen.
What proportion of those massacred were men, women and children, do you think?
Oh, well, there were families, you could see. Obviously, they were in this particular area, I imagine, a wonderful farmland, this particular little area. There must have been a few farms, and they all had the families, and they were all murdered. Because there you saw them all lying on the ground, all mutilated. Presumably left for us to show us that we've been here before, we've done your job for you, sort of thing. This is their, presumably, the Habesh mentality.
How did the KR greet the site?
With pretty good horror, I think, from everybody concerned, all the troops.
Including the Askaris?
Oh, yes, indeed. Not the way to fight the war at all.
What was done with the bodies?
Well, we were the leading troops at the time, so we went on, and they were obviously, we had to push on. But they were presumably dealt with by the troops carrying up the river in reserve.
Had they been massacred with bullets or with knives?
Well, we didn't stop to see how they were originally killed, but they had been cut about with knives, yes.
Was it possible for you to tell what the Somali and Abyssinian civilians, what their attitude towards the war was?
Yes, in a way it was. I remember hearing from my battalion after I was recaptured in that particular action at Bubissa, some other people had got lost on the way back to their original camp where we set off before the battle, and they said that they went into one hut and of native Abyssinians, and they were very anti the Italians, and they helped them a lot. But before this they had met others who looked very hostile, but whether it was that they were hostile in any way to all Europeans or strangers, I wouldn't know.
Did you often come across Abyssinian irregulars?
No, we didn't, no. But we'd heard of their escapades, and they did do some useful intelligence and fighting, I understand.
What was their appearance? What did they look like?
Oh, very, very wild and savage, with bandoliers and round their across the shoulder, and rifles and any old clothes. Very irregular and hostile-looking people indeed.
What would be their demeanour as far as you were concerned?
Oh, they, as I say, we didn't come across them very much, but they kept to themselves and did their own thing. They weren't, I don't think, very much concerned with what we were doing.
Would they be unfriendly or friendly towards you?
Oh, I think they would definitely be friendly towards us, yes. After all, we were there to put their emperor back into their country, which they had expressed the desire was what they wanted, and so they naturally were kindly towards us, because we were conquering their country, which they understood that we were going to give back to them, which of course we did.
Did you hear about the work of Ord Wingate with the Abyssinians?
Yes, we certainly heard about Wingate. But whilst we knew of Wingate in Abyssinia, I can't tell you anything about his role or what work he was doing there at all.
Did you ever have any mutinies amongst the Askaris?
Not to my knowledge.
Did you ever hear of them being reluctant to leave East Africa to go on other campaigns?
No, I of course was a junior officer, but I had not heard of anything like that.